Father, I thank you and I praise you. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the bright and morning star, Lord, I give you, Father Creator, all the glory, because all things were created in and through and by your Son, and all things are subject to him. The entire universe is. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you come and teach and reveal your word, the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of Jesus, as you open up and break out manna from heaven, as we hold out the words of life, and we are like stars in the universe. Thank you for joining me. This is titled Stella Saba, or Hebrew Star Wars. Stella Saba, Star Saba means wars in Hebrew. Up in Haifa in Israel, there's near the Mount Carmel, a convent and monastery is a church called Stella Maris, Star of the Sea. And this is where, near the Kidron Brook, where the famous Deborah had her encounter with Sisera. Anyway, we shall get and read into that. But I want to talk to you because the Lord has been speaking to me, and however you want to take that, I don't care, really, about the times and seasons and the clocks of the heavens, and how the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. There's a book by Kenneth Fleming called God's Voice in the Stars, Zodiac Signs, and Biblical Truth. And the heavens, and Psalm, excuse me, I'm organizing my thoughts here. And also Bollinger wrote a book about the constellations and how God's, the witness of the stars, and off of J.A. Sice's book, The Gospel in the Stars. And basically, in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. Let's have a look at it. We'll just go there. We'll just take this journey as it was laid out to me and let the Lord lead. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Whose voice? The voice of God. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the earth, world. In them, the heavens, that is, he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, so here the heavens declare the glory of God. And the last some nights on the starlit nights, I live way high altitude in the mountains. There's not any houses around, very, very few. And very few cities to lighten up the deep, dark skies. So the stars sparkle like diamonds. And in a cold night, they're very clear. And in the early morning, I take my little woof doggy out for walks, and you can see them. It's like you can touch them, and they speak to you. And I look at the constellations and the beauty of it. And God says here that the heavens utter the speech, and night they reveal knowledge. And I'm looking at the constellations, and they're speaking. They have a language, and they're communicating. And their words and the lines go out to the ends of the earth. Now, many ancient astrologers, actually the three wise men, the three kings, the three wise men, were astrologers from the East. And they were studying the stars and prophecies to see the time of the coming of the Mashiach. And they understood when a comet rose, and they followed this star. The stars in through astrology have become twisted by Satan, and we are not to look to them for divination. But the constellations in each, the stars that are named, God says He named them, and they are for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. In Genesis 1:14, signs to indicate what would happen, pictorial representations, and the star, God Himself named the stars. Let's look at the word stars, since that's how I began this journey for me and for you, as you join me in seeing what the Lord is saying. All right. The Greek word is aster, aster, or astar, which is spoken of in Job. Job 9:9, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south. And then Job 38, canst thou bring forth Maseroth, which are the constellation in his seasons, or canst thy God Arcturus with his sons? Now Arcturus is a very interesting star. As God names the stars, it is in the constellation Bootes, which is a man, and Arcturus means he conquers. Job 38:31, canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades? Those are the seven sisters, or loose the bands of Orion. That is the belt three stars, the belt of Orion. These are rhetorical questions when God is challenging Job over his sovereign dealings in the affairs of men. Let's look at Amos 5:8. Seek him that maketh the seven stars in Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Now, this was an exhortation by Job because they were worshiping the heavens and the stars through astrology. And God said, don't do that. Worship him who made them. Here we see this elaborated in Deuteronomy, where God is saying in verse Deuteronomy 4:13, he declared unto you, that is the Lord God, his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon two tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess. So take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for you saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake to you in Horeb out of the midst of fire, lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water beneath the earth, unless thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven, should be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heavens. But the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance as you are this day. All right, this is a strong command. Do not worship the starry hosts in the heavens. And he looks and also talks about, behold, when the morning star sang together and all the sons of shouted for joy. This is at the creation. When I consider the heavens and the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, God's mercy. He tells the number of the stars and calls them all by their names. Psalm 147:4. God calls them by their names. Adam named the animals, but God called them by their name. And again, in Jeremiah 31:35, thus says the Lord, which gives the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divides the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. And they, Daniel 12:3, that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, that they may turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Now, Satan in Obadiah 1:4, the powers of darkness, exalted himself above and made his nest among the stars. And so the stars began a war. There was a conflict, and stars are often referred to as the children of men, as in Abraham, I shall make your descendants as numerous as the stars of the heavens, or as in Joseph when he had the dream about the sun, the moon, and the stars, and they bowed down to him. And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and stars, and the distress of nations with a perplexity of seas roaring. The stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers of heaven are shaken. And there are signs in the sun, Luke 21, and in the moon, and in the stars. So they're stars. These are signs for what? The times and seasons. Well, how do you know that, Kathleen? Well, in Genesis, he made, 1:16, two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. So God set them in order, and he says they are for signs in the heavens, and they determine the times and the seasons. So the clock in heaven, according to Psalm 19, determines seasons, times and seasons. And what is going on heavens is interesting to look at. I had taken a journey to pray through France, and I think it was 2000. And I was called to go to Strasbourg, and we stayed and went to Strasbourg Cathedral and the Cardinal's Palace and so on. And in the Strasbourg's cathedral, a clock was made. It has worldwide fame throughout the centuries. It's the most incredible clock actually in the world. I think I've never seen anything greater. It is called this clock, the clock of the three kings. I want to talk to you about these signs and the times and season and the heavens and the firmaments and the lights. In the Middle Ages, their clockmakers began to evolve or develop their art craft in Germany and Switzerland. And Strasbourg is a particular Alsace-Lorraine, which has been often annexed by Germany and then by France and then by Germany and then by France, so it's right on the border. And Strasbourg was a key center. It is now where the European Union is. The Parliament meets one week out of the year. And it is also the Cardinal's Palace is there, which has a lot of Masonic seance room. But anyway, that's an aside. And so Strasbourg's cathedral, they ordered a construction of the Clock of the Three Kings. It's 12 meters high, and it stands against the west wall of the southern arm of the transept. The structure is composed, this is a huge clock, okay, 12 meters, that's very high. The structure is composed of a calendar, an astrolabe, a statue of the Virgin and Child before which every hour the Magi come to bow, while chimes play various melodies, and a cock crowed and flapped its wings. This automaton, the oldest, is now an exhibit in the Museum of Decorative Arts. This astronomical clock, the Clock of the Three Kings, is has a celestial globe showing the 48 constellations of 1,022 stars, as well as the paths of the sun and the moon. It turned by means of a movement hidden inside a pelican opening its breast to feed its young, a symbol of redemption by Christ's sacrifice. Then the second part, there's Apollo indicating the current of the calendar's day's ring, Diana indicating the day is 6 months apart. The fourth part, the calendar's dial, was painted according to the Julian system for a century, and its present state for the period of 1670 to 1769. And in the center is the map of Alsace and the surrounding areas, together with a view of Strasbourg. Paintings of the eclipses of the sun and their moon in the present state for the year 1613 through 1645. The minute's dial is flanked by a skull and a snake with an apple. Then there's an angel with a scepter to count the strokes of the hours. Then there's an angel turning his hourglass each hour. There are children holding inscribed streamers. There's geocentric astrolabe representing the sky as seen from Strasbourg with its subdivision, the stars, the zodiac, the celestial houses, and movements of the sun, moon, and five planets. A solar pointer indicating the hours on the astrolabe's exterior dial. Dial of the phases of the moon. The four ages of life which struck the quarter hours. At each quarter, death approached a small bell, was thrust back by Christ. When the hour came, the latter withdrew, that is Christ, and death advanced to ring the bell. In the crown were chimes with 10 bells, which played a religious melody every hour by means of six interchangeable cylinders. The cock from the 1352 clock, which after the chimes crowed twice while flapping its wings. The colossus with the feet of clay representing the four empires that Nebuchadnezzar saw in a dream. All right, then they had the statues of Christ and the children, a statue of death, the statue of Saturn and Jupiter. It's absolutely fabulous. They have a lion holding the coat of arms of Ouvre Notre Dame and a huge crown in the center, a lion holding the helmet of the arms of of Strasbourg, a statuette of the architect, St. John the Evangelist, St. Mark the Evangelist, St. Luke the Evangelist, a lute player, harpist, a prophet Isaiah, a flautist, the four empires of Assyria, Persia, Greece, and Rome are represented, symbolized by the four beasts emerging from the sea. There's a picture of the creation, six paintings representing the biblical times. The Last Judgment is painted there. The creation and the last judgment, and then there are Hebrew letters and Greek letters and Latin letters, the fall and salvation, the church and the Antichrist with the dragon with the seven heads, and the woman with the child being caught up to heaven, the four seasons, the fates, the measurement of time in the astronomical indications. So these are all very logically astronomical and very accurate according to a time dial. Then there's the child, the youth, and adult, St. Peter, St. John, St. James the Minor, and so on. And then they have a huge globe of the world on an astronomical dial. It's quite fabulous. But the point is time, as we count it, according to the cyclical movement of the cylinders, so to speak, is caught up in the heavens. That the heavens are for signs and times. And they speak to God before we had clocks. I mean, they speak to us of what is going on in the sky is reflecting what is coming. All right, the constellations, God created the stars. We have evidence that in Genesis 1:16, God made the two lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser to govern the night. And it's a witness of God's greatness. He set the stars in their place. When Psalm 8:3, when I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. Okay, they were set in a pattern on predetermined courses, and they orbit in the sky along with the planets and the solar systems and the galaxies, and the entire galaxy is on a cyclical basis. God names the stars, Psalm 147:4. He gives names to all of them. Look, but the prophet Isaiah says, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their host by number. He calls them by all by name because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one of them is missing, Isaiah 40:26. Man named the animals, but God named the stars. And if God named the stars, then he was speaking, as it says in Psalm 19. Now, God uses the stars for prophetic revelation, for his word. Genesis 1:14, let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years. God's ordained the years, months, and days, and they are to be determined by the astronomical means. We have Gregorian calendars, which we operate on now. Of course, I read in this little book on the astronomical clock that I picked up in Strasbourg about the Julian calendar, and then we also have the lunar calendars. The word for seasons is moed. It's an appointed or fixed time, a moedim. These are appointed times when Israel would honor God. Signs and seasons are therefore ordained by God to indicate happenings and periods of time to pertain to them. And God designs the stars, using them prophetically to signify specific historical incidents at chosen times. As the plan of salvation was unfolding, he used the heavens to reveal them. And still, he speaks through and by the stars. So the glory of God in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. I'm sorry, Arcturus means he comes or he conquers. It's in the constellation Boots. There are 24 of the brightest stars that are seen from Earth, and their names are in specific constellations that speak the whole star map. If you look at them across the think of what calls the equatorial perimeter. If you watch them, there's a pageant of salvation, starting with Virgo, the Virgin, to Libra, price paid, justice meted out, Scorpio, the mortal conflict, Sagittarius, the final triumph, Capricornus, life out of death, Aquarius, blessing out of victory, Pisces, deliverance out of bondage, Aries, glory out of humiliation, Christ the crowned lamb, Taurus, his glory is coming, Christ the judge, Gemini, he rules on earth, Cancer, his possessions held secure, and Leo, the final one, his enemies are destroyed. All right, we've laid a foundation here. For the next phase, which I want to go into some modern day applications, there have been some wonderful teachings and observations on the time of our Lord's birth and the comets that appeared and the signs in the heaven, and those are wonderful. But there are a series of events that are coming before us in the next several years. And I'll just start with the year 2013, and we'll look at some of the astronomical events, and we'll look at the moeds, the times and the seasons according to the Hebrew calendar, and some other celestial events, and see how it lines up with perhaps the Lord will give us some revelation on what he's saying about this very significant year, as there have been many, many signs in the heavens in the recent years. Let's look at from 2013, from March 10 to the 24th, the comet Pan-STARRS at its best. Now, it's interesting. A comet always means it's a great event. Someone was born, someone is going to, some leader is coming on the scene, or some great destructive event is about to take place. I'm not putting an interpretation on this yet. I'm just telling you the general interpretive meanings. The comet Pan-STARRS was discovered in June 2011 using the Pan-STARRS 1 telescope at Haleakala, Hawaii. And it's supposed to put on its best show during this 2-week period. And at this time, the comet will also be near its closest approaches to the sun, 28 million miles, and Earth 102 miles. While the comet Pan-STARRS was a very dim and distant object at the time of its discovery, it has brightened steadily since then. It still appears on target, meaning comets are unpredictable and don't always stay on target. To reach at first magnitude, it should be visible in the low west northwestern sky shortly after sunset. On the evening of March 12th, the comet will be situated 4 degrees to the right of an exceedingly thin crescent moon. Now, this is significant. So, March, between 10 to the 24th, the comet appears, Pan-STARRS. Okay. So, March is, there's a significance over the month of March. Now, October 18th is a penumbral eclipse of the moon. It slides through the northern part of the Earth's penumbral shadow during this lunar eclipse. At mid-eclipse, 76% of the moon's diameter will be immersed in the penumbra, probably deep enough to cause a faint yet discernible darkening of the moon's lower limb. The region of visibility includes Asia, Europe, and Africa. The central and eastern part of North America will get a view of the slightly darkened Hunter's Moon during the early evening hours. And I assume the Hunter's Moon means it will be a bright orange color. November 3rd is what is called a hybrid eclipse of the sun. This is a rather unusual solar eclipse in that along its track, which runs for 8,450 miles across the Earth's surface, the eclipse quickly morphs from annular to total. It is therefore known to astronomers as a hybrid eclipse. How interesting is that? If you listen to all the talk about the rise of the hybrids and the Anunnaki and the star children, and hybrids often indicate genetically modified. And there's a morphing here from annular to total. Truth be told, along most of the track, the eclipse appears as total, with a very thin ring of sunlight visible near the beginning of the track. The track of the central line begins in the Atlantic, about 545 miles southwest of Bermuda. So along North America's Atlantic coast, interested viewers using proper viewing devices will only see the dark disk of the moon exiting the sun's face at sunrise. The eclipse will track past south of the Cape Verde Islands and curve southeastward parallel to the African coastline. The greatest eclipse, with 100 seconds of totality in the path reaching a maximum of just 36 miles, occurs approximately 250 miles off the coast of Liberia. The shadow track will then sweep across Central Africa, passing over sections of Gabon, Congo, Democratic Republic of the Congo, Uganda, and Kenya, before ending at sunset at the Ethiopian-Somali border. Mid-November through December, the hybrid, the comet ISON, what does that mean? Comet ISON, I am the sun, ISON, the comet ISON, September 21st, 2012. Two amateur astronomers in Russia discovered this comet and using an acronym of the instrument they used to find it, which was the International Scientific Optical Network. How interesting is that? International Scientific Optical, meaning I, Network. The Watchers, the Optical Networker. The Watchers have seen ISON, the Son of God, coming. Orbital calculation indicates that the comet ISON will travel closest to the sun, 750,000 miles above the sun's surface, making a true sun grazer on November 28th. It's Thanksgiving Day in USA. November 28th is a significant date. So on November 3rd, we have a hybrid eclipse with a watcher comet. The comet eventually could be bright enough to be visible in broad daylight as it grazes the sun, and then so it will travel to the Earth, towards the Earth, then passing 40 million miles of our planet a month later. This comet will become very well placed for viewing in the morning and evening sky from the northern hemisphere. During the following weeks, it could become one of the most watched comets of all times. It's unpredictable because it's coming so close to the sun. What will happen? And it's about its course. Some people have projected that this comet may become brighter than the moon and bigger than the moon in the night sky. And it will be over the American hemisphere. Now, isn't this interesting that this hybrid eclipse will be mostly over North Africa and over Kenya? The hybrid eclipse from Kenya. The hybrid from Kenya. And ISON, the optical watchers track. And it's such an optical network. It's like the World Wide Web. It's like, you know, high-level surveillance society. But the sun is the ultimate watcher over all events. All right, these are the issues for this. These are the outstanding, in my opinion, issues that are going to be in the night sky for this coming year. We will have a look at, there are other solar eclipses that will happen this year also. On 2013, May 10th, there is a annular solar eclipse that will be seen through Australia, the Solomon Islands, and the Pacific. Then November 3rd is the hybrid. Therefore, there are two eclipses this year, May 10th and November 3rd. Two solar eclipses. And for lunar eclipses, there will be April 25th, which will be seen over Europe, Africa, and Asia and Australia on May 25th. A partial eclipse, lunar eclipse on April 25th. On May 25th, there will be a penumbral, and on October 18th, there will be a penumbral. Now let's go over and look at the feast calendar dates for this year, 2013. All right. The Feast of Lots or Purim, these are the feast days for the year 2013, which means that according to the Hebrew calendar, which is lunar, the holiday begins at sundown on the evening of the previous day, okay? So Purim, the Feast of Lots, 2013, is February 24th, which means on February evening, 23rd, begins the feast day, because the Hebrew day is from evening to evening. Passover, Pesach, is March 26th, means it begins evening, the 25th, March 25th. The Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, Shavuot, is May 15th, beginning on May 14th. Aha, we see some events are going to be lining up with these dates this year. The Jewish year 5774 begins, and September 5th, the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, is September 14th. The Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, is September 19th. Simcha Torah, Rejoicing in the Torah, the eighth day, is September 27th. And Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication, is November 28th. So we will line these all up, but we will begin in March, well, February, okay. And there's some very interesting celestial events that are going to take place. And there are also, and I will conclude with this, some events that will take place that line up with tetrads during the year 2014 and 2015. So this is part one of Stella Sabah, and we will also have some additional scriptures about Deborah's song. So until the next time, and I look forward to you joining me, thank you and God bless you.